where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Monday, May 21st, 2018, start of a brand new week of utter insanity coming out of Washington, D.C. and other places around the world here. Our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in the control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments and questions. So let's get right on into it. The global outrage over what Israel did a week ago in the Gaza Strip is continuing unabated. It is a public relations nightmare for Israel. And the way they're trying to handle it basically shows how arrogant they are, how insincere they are, how remorseless they are, really does raise the bar for chutzpah. Apparently, three Gazans have died of wounds sustained during the May 14th clashes, bringing the total death toll up to 114. And the Palestinian side is accusing the Israeli army of using ammunition that is internationally forbidden. And they were. They were using these expanding bullets that basically fold open on impact to maximize the amount of damage and death. So the rallies in Gaza and also in the West Bank started on March 13th. They're demanding the world's recognition of the Palestinians' right of return, guaranteed by the United Nations, and the lifting of an 11-year blockade on the Gaza Strip by Israel. So, Israel Public Secretary Minister Gilad Erdan basically came on, and this is what I mean by a really bad response to the PR crisis, said that there's no difference between killing the Palestinians in Gaza and killing Nazis in World War II. Yeah, there's a real big difference. The Palestinians are caged up. They don't have weapons other than rocks and slingshots. And the Israelis were in fortified positions 100 meters away with U.S.-made sniper rifles and illegal ammunition. It is a little bit different. But anytime Israel gets into a public relations mess, what do? They bring back the Nazis. They bring back the Holocaust. They talk about Hitler this and Hitler that. And it's inevitable. And, you know, whatever it is that happened back in World War II, happened before the vast majority of us was even born. It is completely inapplicable to what is going on in Israel and Palestine today. Israel has overplayed that card way too much. And there's an article out of Middle East Monitor saying, Israel's premature celebration, Gazans have crossed the fear barrier. And I've actually talked about this once before. Your brain is not electrical. Obviously, it can be stimulated electrically, but it's mostly driven by chemicals, neurotransmitters. And there is a specific neurotransmitter for the fear reaction, but it can become exhausted. And it's not a case of people being courageous and brave all of a sudden. They're simply burned out. They can't feel fear any longer. And after that, all that is left is rage and anger. And according to this article from Middle East Monitor, it looks like the Gazans have crossed that line. Despite all the bloodshed, the deaths, and the wounding, the Gazans refuse to back down. Israel can't make them afraid anymore, which is why I'm sure Israel will concoct some reason to come on in and bomb Gaza yet again. But there's another article also from Middle East Monitor saying Israel's occupation mindset and lust to kill has to be ended because it is the single greatest cause of disquiet in the Middle East right now. I think the Middle East would be pretty much calmed down, just doing business, selling their oil or selling whatever it is they sell, and they'd get along with each other if Israel wasn't always out there causing trouble left, right, up, down, north, and south. Now, a lot of people are talking about how the Gaza massacre exposes the Western hypocrisy on Russia's annexation of Crimea. because Trump's decision to relocate the American embassy to Jerusalem endorses Israeli claims to the whole of Jerusalem as the undivided capital of the Jewish state, even though it's been declared a shared international city by the United Nations. And then you have, on the other hand, the condemnation of Russia's annexation of Crimea, which didn't actually happen. The Crimean people voted to leave Ukraine following the U.S.-backed coup d'etat that drove Yanukovych from power and put in President Chocolate Poroshenko. And then they voted to merge with the Russian republics, and that's what actually happened. And the U.S. denounced the move and refused to recognize it, expressing their concern for the territorial integrity of Ukraine, that it couldn't or shouldn't be violated. And yet, down there in Israel, the territorial integrity of Palestine doesn't seem to be an issue. Neither does the territorial integrity of Syria, because there's a move now in Congress to officially recognize Israel's annexation of the Golan. And every time the United States displays more hypocrisy or another double standard, they undermine their own credibility in the eyes, not just of the American people, but the people of the world. All right, we're going to do a shout-out to our honor affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Now, Kuwait came up with a draft resolution in partnership with the Palestinian Authority. They're headed to the United Nations Security Council this week, seeking the creation of an international force in the Gaza Strip to prevent further Israeli attacks on the area. It's an absolute slam-dunk guarantee that Nikki Haley will veto it in the Security Council, at which point they will take the resolution to the General Assembly, where it'll pass overwhelmingly, like the previous one that called Israel's actions in the Gaza Strip wholly inappropriate. And unfortunately, while the General Assembly has no legal authority to do anything about it, it'll be a symbolic victory for the Palestinians and another slap in the face for Israel and Donald Trump. Now, there's a very alarming story coming out of IMMC.org, and it's basically saying that during this attack on the Palestinians, arms manufacturers use the opportunity to test out new technology to basically demonstrate their new products. That may even include those unfolding bullets. Now, Andrew Feinstein is the executive director of Corruption Watch Great Britain and author of The Shadow World Inside the Global Arms Trade. So this is a guy who knows about where the weapons are going, where they're coming from. And apparently some new things were being tested on the Palestinians. Now, apparently, over the weekend, Israeli police employed extreme violence in Haifa against Palestinian citizens of Israel, demonstrating in support of the Gaza protesters. It just went on in and just whacked them up real good here. And basically, Avigdor Lieberman is out there inciting more violence against the Palestinian lawmakers. Palestinians who are in the government of Israel trying to support the rights of the Palestinians. And Lieberman is saying they shouldn't be criticizing the police for what happened in Haifa. And Lieberman has previously called for the beheading of Palestinian citizens of Israel who he accuses of being disloyal to the self-described Jewish state. So this guy's got a real Henry VIII mentality going for him here. Now, the good news is a large humanitarian aid convoy from Egypt has reached the Gaza Strip. They're apparently going to open one of the border crossings and let people go back and forth. And even though Egypt has been working with Israel to keep Gaza contained, I guess what happened a week ago was even too much for President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi to stand idly by. So they send in a bunch of material to try and ease some of the suffering there. And apparently Sisi has issued directives to keep the Rafah land border crossing open through the month of Ramadan. Now, over in Great Britain, we've been talking about the Labour Friends of Israel. It's a little subgroup inside the parliament, and some of the members also disgusted by what happened a week ago, have just backed away and said, we don't want to be supporters anymore. We don't want to be part of the Labor Friends of Israel. One of them actually asked for their name to be removed from the website of the supporters of the Labor Friends of Israel. Another Labor MP is calling on the colleagues to say, it's time to reassess your ties to the Labor Friends of Israel. Because right now, Israel's brand is in bad, bad shape. And people are distancing themselves. This was a bad move. Trump's moving the embassy was a bad move. Moving it on the day of the Nakba was a bad move. And then Israel's massacre down there at the fence, they were all bad moves. And maybe Israel was trying to provoke a third intifada so they could justify killing more Palestinians. But in the eyes of the world, it's definitely not worked out for them. Over in Morocco, 10,000 Moroccans held a protest against the U.S. Jerusalem embassy move, shouting death to Israel. They took to the streets of Casablanca on Sunday, and they carried Palestinian flags and placards that read Al-Quds, Palestine's eternal capital. Now, over in New York, there's a New York school that decided to have a moment of silence for the dead people of Gaza. And not surprisingly, Jewish parents just got into a tizzy. How dare you do that? And they're calling up the school and saying whoever was responsible for this idea needs to be fired. And how dare you show sympathy and support for the people of Gaza? Now, over in Turkey, Erdogan is out there with the rhetoric again saying Israeli actions would put Nazis to shame. And he's basically talking, he's joining the call for some kind of international force to be deployed to protect Palestinians in Gaza from Israeli attacks. And he's urging the United Nations to investigate the killings on the Strip's borders. Well, the Security Council resolution to conduct an investigation was vetoed by Nikki Haley, but the United Nations Human Rights Council, which is not subject to a U.S. veto, is going ahead with one right now. Erdogan went on to say children of those being subjected to torture in concentration camps are now attacking Palestinians with methods that would put Nazis to shame. And he's absolutely right. He's absolutely, absolutely right. I mean, there doesn't seem to be much difference between the Gaza Strip and the Warsaw Ghetto. They're both basically penned in to hold a specific ethnic group captive and away from the rest of society. They're subjected to economic limitations here. Story coming out of Middle East Monitor, again, how with the move of the embassy to Jerusalem, the United States has lost its role as a mediator in the Middle East. Trump made it look very obvious that the United States stands with Israel, so the United States cannot go on into the Middle East and act as a mediator between Israel and anybody else because they know that the United States is no longer impartial or objective, if they ever actually were. But they've definitely lost it now. Another story coming from Al Jazeera, memo to Israel, Lebanon is not Hezbollah, Gaza is not Hamas. And they're responding to Israel's latest public relations move to say that everybody in Lebanon is a Hezbollah terrorist, and everybody in Gaza is a Hamas terrorist, and that's why it's okay to shoot them. But Hezbollah is a small group. They don't represent the entire population of Lebanon. Lebanon has a civil government. Hamas happens to be, by default, the civil government of the Gaza Strip, and they're trying to function like one, but not everybody works for Hamas. But Israel's trying to blur the lines there to create a sense of otherness, where those are the other, and they're bad, therefore it's okay to kill them. Now, here's where it gets almost laughable. Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman on Friday responded to the fact that much of the world's corporate media has actually condemned what happened in Gaza a week ago. And he's basically blaming it on Muslim advertising revenue. And he's saying the only reason these news outlets are covering what happened in Gaza is that 90% of all advertisements come from the Muslim world. Now, that's nowhere near being true, and we know Israel's influence over the world's corporate media is usually ironclad. But interestingly enough, we're seeing a lot of these Jewish people in the media coming on out and saying this really did go over the line, that they can't in good conscience support this. I think I read you excerpts from one of the articles last Friday. You know, how do Jews sleep at night? And it was written by a Jewish author. So Israel did cross a line here, and they've got a public relations nightmare on their hands, which means in the coming weeks, our cable channels are going to be filled with movies about Hitler and the Holocaust, Inglourious Bastards, and World War II in general, just try and regain their victim status. But I think after what happened a week ago, Israel has lost their victim status. Nobody's going to go back to thinking the Israelis are poor, helpless victims who need our money and our weapons to save themselves from extermination at the hands of those evil Arabs. I think what happened last Monday was Israel's equivalent of the Amritsar massacre in India, which signaled the beginning of the end of British colonial rule. Up in Afghanistan... Well, actually, the guy himself was at a U.S. Navy Department briefing, and he made this claim, this guy, U.S. Marine Corps Commandant General Robert Neller, shocked everybody by saying, "We are the Mujahideen." He's claiming that American forces and their Afghan partners are the Mujahideen in Afghanistan now. So he's saying it's a holy war, ignoring the fact that the U.S. was backing the original Mujahideen that drove out the Soviet Union. So let's take a look down here in Syria. The Syrian army has now liberated southern Damascus. ISIS continues to withdraw. And apparently back on the 19th, 2 days ago, the Syrian Arab army and the remaining ISIS militants reached a temporary ceasefire in the area. And yesterday, a number of buses entered the area, hinting ISIS was ready to surrender, and ISIS members started withdrawing from the area. So, the Syrian government is not celebrating just yet, because the U.S. has repeatedly used a strategy of temporarily withdrawing their proxies from an area in order to retrain and re-equip them and then send them back in. But overall, it does look like Assad has won this war, which is why I think we can look forward to another false flag chemical weapon attack to be blamed on Assad, followed by an immediate attack by the United States. And this time they'll go for Assad himself, because the American people are getting sick and tired of all of this nonsense. Apparently, the U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces are resorting to kidnapping for ransom to obtain more money for more weapons and more supplies over in northeastern Syria. And they're arresting civilians for basically made-up reasons and asking for a hefty amount of money for their release. So... that's the kind of people the United States is backing over there in Syria. Apparently, at a former al-Nusra facility in Syria, U.S. anti-tank missiles, TOW missiles, have been discovered. And we're going to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back after these few words.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened? What really
and aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Israel has started shelling Hezbollah positions in southern Syria. So once again, Israel is just shooting at everybody around there. Technically, what's going on in Syria is none of Israel's concern, but they are shelling Hezbollah positions in southern Syria right now. They shelled the village of Tulul al-Humar, south of Quneitra, and explosions were heard in Deir ez-Zor military airport in eastern Syria. Local sources in the area say the explosions are believed to have been caused by Israeli attacks in the area. No comment yet officially from either Syria or Israel. Okay. All right. Now, I mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again. Florida Representative Ron DeSantis is out there pushing a measure in the Congress for U.S. recognition of Israel's sovereignty in the Golan Heights. Now, Israel annexed the Golan all the way back in, I think it was 1981, but it was not recognized internationally and not even by the United States. But Israel wants to keep the Golan. They want all that oil and gas. They want Lebensraum, if you want. Grabbing the Golan as part of the Eretz Israel grand plan. They want the Israel described in the Torah from the Nile to the Euphrates. So DeSantis is definitely on board with that. I hope the measure fails. It's only going to inflame the region that much more. More and more people in Saudi Arabia are asking, have you seen Mohammed bin Salman? Because he's not been seen in public since the April 21st attack on his palace in Riyadh. And there were reports that he was shot at least twice. And if bin Salman is, in fact, dead, it's going to create a power vacuum because the older King Salman isn't functioning all that well. And there are going to be a lot of people vying for that throne. Meanwhile, a dissident Saudi prince, Prince Khalid bin Fardan, is out there saying it's time for a coup d'etat to seize power. And that would tend to reinforce the idea that Mohammed bin Salman actually did die in the attack. Let's go to the phones here. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
There we go. The oil fields, then. There's a coup
yep.
there. Oh, man. The oil would be $200 a barrel right off the bat, you know, because of
yep.
uncertainty. Mike, I wanted to actually bring that up because, he's been doing the rounds. All of a sudden, he disappeared after that. Maybe a coup. Maybe not, but haven't seen him since, right? You don't know.
Nope, nobody has.
And, hey, Mike, I was scared for you on Friday. Did you hear those reports about, was it the geothermal plant? Is that in, how do you say that, Hilo?
It's south of Hilo. It's closer to Pune. Somebody is trying to fan up an unwarranted hysteria because this geothermal plant used pentane as a heat transfer fluid. It would go basically down in the ground, come on back up. It's heated. It drives the turbines that drive the generators, and then it just recycles forever. It's actually a very good little system. But the pentane has been removed from the area. Even if all of it was still there and exploded, it would not create a tsunami that would swamp the entire Hawaiian island chain. What would swamp the entire Hawaiian island chain is if a big chunk of the south flank of Kilauea broke off and fell into the ocean. And geologists, oceanographers have discovered evidence. This has happened many times in the past, at least 70 identified incidents stretching back millions of years. So that's the only way the rest of the islands would be in trouble, other than the fact that the Vog and now the Lays can get blown up this way if the trades collapse.
And then I'm switching gears on back onto Syria, Mike. Did you hear the report of the Latakia coming under drone attack just like not too long ago, half an hour?
No, I must have missed that one.
That's in Hayaman. Was that Latakia province? I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, they think they shot some of them down, so I don't know if it's over yet, but it might still be going on, where the terrorists, so-called, terrorists, that are flying in drones with explosives on them, which is amazing how they can manage to do that with these little drones, putting explosives on them, without help.
The drones aren't so little. Anyway, listen, I'm going to put you on hold. Don't hang up. I'm going to come right back to you after these few words from our sponsors. I still got another minute here. I got to change that clock. If you heard just a little while ago, I was reporting on this story where Israel is shelling Hezbollah positions in South Syria and explosions are being reported in Deir Ezzor. This might be another attack underway. And I wouldn't assume that terrorists are using these drones because we know that Israel likes the drones. And they've got a lot of them. All right, now we're going to go to commercial break here, and we'll be right back with Justin after these words from our sponsors. And I'm still not hearing the music.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And welcome back to our show here. We're on the line here with Dustin, and I'm sorry for the on-air cough. I forgot to take my local volume down here for the commercial break. So, Dustin, where were we when we went to the commercials?
I was telling you about how, like, there was a attack going on with drones coming from terrorists or unknown attackers on Latakia Air Base, which is Hyman Air Base in Latakia Province. And I don't know if it's still going on, but Mike, you know, this is going to go on for a while. I mean, they, like you said, they just cleared out Damascus and stuff, so there's still pockets. So it's going to take, you know, it's still going to take a while, but, you know, they're running out of resources. That's so clear to see. You know, they got to eat. They need ammo. That's why they found the TOW missiles without a TOW. Either they took off with the TOW unit itself or it never showed up, which means they're having a hard time getting other things. You know,
yeah, but we know that the United States is airlifting supplies to them. That's why they have all this American and British equipment. Of course, again, we're hearing these stories about how some of these so-called rebels are now resorting to kidnapping and holding for ransom to get more money. Part of the problem is they were stealing Syria's oil and selling that off through Turkey as well to get more money for the war.
And Mike, I wanted to talk about, you heard of the Corbett report, James Corbett? Like he does
oh, yes,
great,
I had him on the show.
you got to get a Mike. People got to watch this. You've been talking about it, how the United States, Britain, France, Israel, so they use these, you know, the NGOs like USAID and all. You got to watch the video. It's new. It's the newest one. And, you know, Mike, what's sad? We're always saying, you know, they send in these AIDS groups to help people, and just it's a front to you know, to start a revolution and to overthrow the government, to put a puppet in. But, Mike, isn't it amazing how you see in Syria they cleared out all these areas? Where's the aid now? You don't see it at all coming in from the West, do you?
No, you don't.
Now, that tells you all you need to know, because like he said, it's a Trojan horse to bring in regime change or to steal the government or the wealth of the people. And like I said, where's the aid? The only people bringing aid in is Iran, Hezbollah, and Russia. Where's Britain's aid? Where's France and the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia's aid to help the people? They're not helping the people. You know, it is
well,
a
France,
joke.
France and Great Britain, along with the United States, are spending their money to build more bases inside Syria, and there is a very clear line being formed by all of these bases. So the agenda still appears to be to break Syria up into at least two parts. They're going to whack off the Golan and give that to Israel. They're going to whack off another part and give that to the Kurds, they're going to leave Bashar al-Assad with the desert.
It's just sad, though, like how we could have chosen the right path, and we all chose the wrong path. This country is finished. Like, you know, our government has created this mess, and we took the path down the drain, like at this point. I mean, what a joke. You know, I look.
They have created a mess. They have created a mess, and the rest of us have to live with it. Anyway, Dustin, I'm going to let you go because I got a lot of news I got to cover here today. So thank you very much for the phone call. Now, apparently, U.S.-backed militias up in Manbij in northern Syria have put down a popular uprising. Apparently, in that city, people in the town went on a general strike in opposition to the Syrian Democratic Forces' forced recruitment in their region. In other words, the U.S.-backed militia was simply grabbing kids and throwing them into a uniform and handing them a gun and saying, you have to join us fighting against the Syrian government. And they really didn't like that. For lack of a better word, it's a draft. And so the people of Manbij went on a general strike, just refused to go to work, refused to do anything. And the Syrian, so-called Syrian Democratic Forces, put down this popular uprising, apparently rather brutally. Now, last week we were reporting on how Turkey is refusing to give Afrin back to Syria. And they're now saying that Afrin should be allowed to self-govern, that there's a local governing council that's been set up, and we're going to respect Afrin's right to choose its own course. And now we're finding out militants are plundering public assets and transferring the material to Turkey. And this is al-Nusra, and they're looting infrastructure in western Idlib. They're literally plundering railway lines and power cables for the steel and the copper. And the railway was a very important communication link between al-Ruj plan and Idlib city, and saying that people are very angry, especially in Idlib, that the rail line has now been cut. So al-Nusra is taking the steel and copper into Turkey to sell on the marketplace there. We've had a big problem with copper thieves out here. There's a lot of metal up there, and when copper prices were up, power lines were being cut down and just taken. There's this antique World War II VLF radio that's over in Haiku Valley. It was used on a location for Lost. And the coil forms for the transmitter are still in that building, and it's an amazing thing to see. And I'm sorry that Hawaiian Homelands Association is not, they don't consider the building important because they want to restore the heiaus and temples and things like that. But for anybody who loves old radio, the building was amazing when we used it as a location. It's deteriorated further since. But even when we were there, the coil forms were completely empty because the copper wire that had wrapped around them had all been stolen. So it is a way of raising money, illegally, but it is. The AUMF 2018 bill would replace the 2001 and 2002 versions. This is an absolute giveaway of war authority to the president. And it looks like this one will not have a sunset date in it. Congress claiming that they're overburdened is abandoning their constitutional duty to decide when and where this country goes to war. And the Pentagon is saying, oh, it's just too much bother to go to Congress and get an approval for each one of these. I mean, look how many wars we're in. Can you imagine if we had to go to Congress for every single one of these? What a fantastic waste of time. And, of course, Congress doesn't want to be seen voting for more war because we're coming up on a midterm election, and they know that voting in favor of war is now an election loser. So in order to protect their reelection chances or their election chances, they just abandoned the Constitution. They abandoned that part of the Constitution that says only Congress can declare war, and they've handed a carte blanche to Donald Trump and his successors to just start a war wherever they feel like. Now, that sounds suspiciously to me like a dictatorship handed to the White House on a silver platter. Over in South Korea, remember we were talking about how the continuing military drills between South Korea and the U.S. and the U.S. flying of nuclear-capable B-52 bombers along the coastline of North Korea had really thrown a monkey wrench into the possibility of peace talks. And somehow or other, Moon Jae-in got snookered into going along with this. Well, he's figured out he's been had. And he's brought pressure on the United States and says the joint training exercise is canceled. We're not going to do it anymore. We're trying to steady the situation down. And the U.S. has also canceled the nuclear drills to try and get the peace talks going. Except there's another fly in the ointment. Trump is now considering simply dropping out of the planned North Korea summit. The article says Trump is consulting with his allies on whether or not going forward is a good idea. Well, I'll tell you right now, being seen as not going forward is going to look bad. It's bad optics right there. Interesting article out of strategicculture.org, Trump the Schlump. Iran nuclear deal is bad. North Korean nuclear deal is good. And they're, again, illustrating how the U.S. government applies different standards to different people, or different nations, rather. And it's hard to understand if there is any kind of a cohesive foreign policy at all, or it's simply answering the phone from Netanyahu and following his orders. Now, the United States has laid out 12 demands for a new nuclear deal with Iran. And I don't think Iran is going to go for this. Some of the demands are outrageous. I mean, it starts with a complete shutdown of all uranium centrifuges, that Iran purchase fuel for their nuclear reactors from other countries. But then it goes on to more and more things about the long-range ballistic missiles and how Iran must seek any support for military activity anywhere in the Middle East. In other words, they want Iran to abandon Syria. And I don't think Iran is going to go for that. And at this point, Iran doesn't need to, because the European Union, Russia, and China are in talks with Iran over their new nuclear deal. And the new deal would keep Iran's requirements the same as the P5+1, but would increase the incentives guaranteed by the other powers. Needless to say, the United States was not invited to these talks because the EU, Russia, and China see the U.S. trying to undermine any deal at all in order to open the door to a potential invasion. So what's happening here, both politically and economically, is the U.S. is now being isolated from the rest of the world. the U.S. has conducted itself as the world's indispensable nation. Everybody has to come do business with us. Everybody has to use our dollar. Everybody has to use our SWIFT system. But the world has changed. There are now parallel currencies, parallel systems, and the rest of the world has clearly had enough with the bullying from the U.S. government. And so what's going to happen is Iran is going to make a deal with the EU, Russia, and China, and their economy is going to continue. The U.S. can sanction all they want, but if nobody else is going along with it, all it does is it cuts off the United States from Iranian oil, and it cuts off Iranian marketplaces from products made in the United States. Who's that going to hurt more? I mean, they took a hit over at Boeing with the ban on selling aircraft to Iran. So the United States is genuinely hoisting with its own petard in its handling of Iran and its overuse of sanctions against everybody. And I think the rest of the world is looking at the United States as becoming a pariah, very obviously under the control of Israel, and sharing the guilt for what Israel is doing. And we're not looked up to anymore. We're not seen as a great nation. Not when we kowtow left and right to Israel's every single demand. Down in South America, in Venezuela, they started voting yesterday in an election that was boycotted by the opposition and condemned by the international community, which will probably hand Nicolas Maduro a new mandate. Now, the language used in this article, which appeared in AFP, is skewed. They describe Maduro as deeply unpopular. Well, if he's deeply unpopular, how is it he wins elections? Because unlike the 2016 election here in the United States, Venezuela allows international observers to monitor their elections. I think what's going on in Venezuela is they understand the hardships they're going through are not Maduro's fault. They've been victims of U.S. intervention and economic warfare going all the way back to the time of Hugo Chavez. And the more the United States pressures Venezuela, the more they're going to stand by their leader. That's what's going to happen. Now, the U.S. has already announced they will not recognize the Venezuela election result. And they're already out there saying their goal is to target corrupt regime officials and not the people of Venezuela. We don't want to damage the country in a way that makes it difficult to repair after democracy is restored. That is a code phrase for we're going in to invade and overthrow the government and install an obedient puppet ruler. That's what that is code for. Story coming out of Information Clearinghouse. Sources in Russian law enforcement apparently relying on data from closed communication channels with the defense ministries of China, Pakistan, and Afghanistan say that there is now an operation basically to prepare a large-scale hybrid offensive against Russia through Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. And this planning phase is in the final phase. All they need is an excuse here. This is a mistake. This is definitely a big mistake. Last week we reported on how the Russian Navy announced they were going to keep their forces in the Mediterranean to guard Syria's coast against ISIS. What they were really doing was sending a message to the United States, we're not leaving so that you can invade from the sea. And now it appears that Russia's Navy, which has a base in Syria, now has a permanent naval presence in the Mediterranean. And they're planning 102 expeditions of ships and submarines for the balance of this year. They'll sail down there, they'll go through a rotation, then they sail home, and they're replaced by the next expedition. This is a very alarming story. This is coming from Air Force Times. And they're talking about, this is the Air Force Secretary who's out there talking about the JSTARS Battlefield Management and Control Aircraft. This is the update to what were called the TACAMOs. And basically saying they're very vulnerable. They're vulnerable to being shot out of the sky during the opening salvo of a war with Russia or China. This is coming from Heather Wilson. Now, as part of its proposed 2019 budget, the Air Force wants to cancel the program to recap the E-18 Joint Surveillance Target Attack Radar System aircraft, which previously sought to buy 17 new Boeing 707 planes to replace its old inventory. Some lawmakers aren't buying that plan. We'll be right back after these few words.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And you know the U.S. government spends a huge amount of money on the military. And over at the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, which monitors global military spending, they've come out with their latest report. And to nobody's surprise, the U.S. is up at the top of the list with more spending than the next seven biggest spenders combined. According to the report, in 2017, the U.S. spent $610 billion, that's with a B, while China spent $228 billion. The rest of the list engaged in rather minuscule amounts of spending by comparison. Russia spending $66 billion, Great Britain spending $47 billion, Japan spending $45 billion. Now, on the basis of military spending, we should have the greatest military on earth. We don't. We've got a lot of expensive junk. And there are a lot of people in Washington, D.C., crying wolf over how the U.S. military is being stripped to the bone. And the U.S. must rebuild its military capability. Well, they've got the money to do it. So if it's not being done, there's a problem with the system. We're going to take a phone call now from Peter in Los Angeles. Aloha, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, before you get too far away from the J-STARS story, J-STARS was like kind of like a like an AWACS for ground attack.
And okay.
What it would do, would they would it would fly, like, for instance, in the Persian Gulf War, Desert Storm, it would fly over northern Saudi Arabia, and since radar is line of sight, it would focus the radar into southern Iraq, and we get an idea of all their, you know, ground convoys and ground movements and all that. But because of the curvature of Earth, of the Earth and all that, and it can't be too high because it loses a little clarity, and also it becomes more vulnerable the higher it goes. It has to be relatively close because of the curvature of the Earth to what they're looking at, not more than like 100, 120 miles or something. So like an S-200, an S-300, an S-400, and the new S-500 would easily be able to reach out and knock that down. So it's great against non-peers or, you know, total air supremacy situations like we had in Desert Storm or something. But against a peer, forget it. It just doesn't work. But I was calling about the Iran deal, Mike, and how it's what you were talking about, basically accelerated the destruction of the U.S. alliance system.
Yes.
You talked last week about how the companies in Europe can obey or not obey.
Okay, well, listen, Peter, we got to do a break for station identification. Stay on the line. I'm going to come right back to you after these few words.
Being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.